Wasn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. That was wonderful, Toria. Thank you so much. Beautiful song. Playing the piano and singing must be difficult. Not as difficult as playing the baritone and singing. Right. Some of y'all get that when you get home. All right. Well, it's not even 6:20. If we get out of church before 7 o'clock, we might be in trouble when Pastor gets back in town, Pastor David. I told him, I said, if I finish early, you might want to come up and take some testimonies or something. I don't know. But, man, it's good to be back in church tonight. Good to see you here. Good crowd. And what a great service God gave us this morning. But we certainly need His help tonight, don't we?
Amen.
All right. Open up your Bible to the book of Ruth. And we'll be in chapter number 1 tonight, the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter number 1. Some of you have heard our story, when I say our, I'm talking about me and my family, my wife and three children, about moving to Virginia. When we first moved here in 2012, had several conversations with Pastor, but one of them was about, you know, how long should we, you know, stay in Virginia? Well, because in my mind, Virginia was initially thought of as, well, this is just a preparation step that will kind of prepare me for whatever the next step was. And kind of goes completely against what Pastor David was preaching this morning. I was thinking about tomorrow. I mean, from day one, moving to Virginia, I already had what the next step for me was going to be. And so, you know, Pastor, you know, had a lot more wisdom than I did at the time. And so he gave me this wise counsel to give it at least 3 years. He said, when you move up here, he said, here's what I want you to do. It'll help you to focus. Don't worry about what God may have for you next. Just come here and commit to be here at least 3 years. And that was in 2012. And so this October, we'll celebrate 13 years in Virginia. And you know, sometimes you just never know what God has in store. There's no way of knowing the future, is there? I thought that it would be a short time. Well, it's turned out to be quite a long time for our family, and we've been grateful for every moment of it. Really, God's been good to me and my family since moving to Virginia. Fellowship Baptist Church has been really good for us, and I'm just thankful for what God's doing in our life. But I thought about that scenario of thinking that something's not going to last very long, but it ends up lasting a lot longer than you think it's going to. And that's a little bit of where we find Naomi in the book of Ruth. It started out that she was going to be in Moab for just a little time. If you notice in chapter 1, verse number 1, they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. You see that in chapter 1, verse 1? There's this family, and they live in Bethlehem, Judah, but they go to sojourn, which just means they just intended to be there for a little span of time, just temporary. They went to sojourn in Moab. And then you find later that at the end of verse number 2 that the last phrase said they continued there. And at the end of verse number 4, you see that they dwelled there about 10 years. And so what Naomi and her family thought would just be a little while ended up being about 10 years. I'm thinking of the story of Jacob and Esau. And after Jacob had deceived his father and stole the birthright and the blessing, remember his mother, Rebekah, she knew that Esau was furious and wanted to take his life. And she told Jacob, why don't you just take a sojourn just for a few days and go visit my family. And Jacob stayed gone for 20 years. She just thought it would be a few days. And ended up being 20 years. So that's where we find Naomi here in Ruth chapter number 1. Something happens to her here while she's in the country of Moab. Now, how many of you, you can think of, don't raise your hand or don't say their name out loud, but you can think of a friend, maybe a family member, somebody that you know that has just completely made a mess of their life and it's their own doing. We all know people like that, right? Some are really close to us, some maybe is a distant relative, but we all, maybe there's somebody that comes to our mind immediately when we think about, you know, this person's really made a mess of their life. Maybe it's somebody here tonight. Maybe you would say, you know what, I've made some decisions and I've really made a mess of my life. And that can happen, can it? And you know what, sometimes we experience pain because of our own decisions, right? We have to reap the consequences of our wrong choices. But then sometimes we experience pain and heartache because of the choices of others. Others do things and put us in a bad situation because our choices affect other people. The Bible teaches that no man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. And so, but then there's other people that they experience hard times and pain, not because of their own doing or not because of someone else's doing. Maybe they never get an answer why. Maybe it's just the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world and bad things happen. I think Job would fall into that category. You can't go back and point your finger at Job's life or somebody else in his life that made decisions that put him in a tough spot. But regardless of why we go through difficult things, the fact of the matter is we all experience pain. That nobody's immune to it. Nobody is going to get through this life and escape going through some difficult times and experiencing some hurt in their life. But the question that is so important for us to ask tonight is, how are we going to deal with it? How do you deal with the pain? How do you deal with the hurt? How do you deal with the blows that life brings your way? That's important. And one reason it's important is because there's something that's worse than feeling hurt. And that's going to be my message we'll look at in just a minute. But you know, we live in such a society where, I mean, all of us by nature, we avoid hurt. I mean, nobody just goes into it and embraces it and signs up for it. It's something that our human nature tries to avoid at all cost. But I hope by the end of this that you'll see that you know, there is something worse than experiencing and feeling some hurt. So maybe you're there tonight. Maybe there's some hurt going on. Maybe it's because of your own choices. Maybe it's because of someone else. Maybe you don't know why. But the good news is, there's a God in heaven that he can overcome the pain and the hurt. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Aren't you glad that there's a God? Not only can he overcome it, man, he can walk with us in it. And he can help us get through it. He cares about us. He wants to help us. And so I don't know every individual situation, but the good news is God does. And the Bible says those of us that are saved, he is our great high priest. And he's been where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he's there to help. There's grace that can be found to help in our time of need, and I'm thankful that the Bible teaches that. So you're in Ruth chapter number 1. Let's look and see this story, and I want to focus in on this lady by the name of Naomi this morning with the Lord's help. Let's read verse number 1 down through verse number 5 together. Ruth chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, we're going to go with Mahlon and Chilion." Okay? That's probably not how you pronounce that, okay? But it just rolls off the tongue a little easier, right? Mahlon, Chilion. All right? So, Mahlon, Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And notice, and she was left, and her two sons, and they, her two sons, took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now, man, you don't get very far into this story before you're introduced to a woman that knows about pain. You're taking notes tonight, write down this word. Write down the word hurt. Okay? Because Naomi's hurting. I mean, all she knows, we don't know exactly what her involvement in this decision was to move from Bethlehem, Judah to Moab, but I mean, as best we can tell, she's just doing what a good wife is trying to do and follow her husband and do what she knows best to do. And so she follows her husband. They go into Moab. And here's a lady that the Bible says two times that she's left. She's alone. She's dealing with loneliness now. And it hadn't always been like this for her, because before the trip to Moab, there was family. And they lived in the promised land. And yeah, the famine came, but at least there was still a husband around, and at least there were still two boys sitting around the table when they had dinner time. But slowly but surely, as they went to Moab, the husband dies. And then later, the passage of time, and her two sons die. And so here's a lady that she knows what it's like to hurt. And nothing that she's done, as far as we can see. You can read the whole book of Ruth, and Naomi, her character is pretty flawless. And we're going to look at something in detail a little bit later, but I mean, Ruth's a good lady. And man, bad things happen to good people. And so here's a good lady that, not because of any sin of her own, man, she finds herself in a difficult situation. She's lost her husband, she's widowed, and then I'm sure for a little bit of a time, she's still thankful that she has two boys, but then it's only a matter of time, and they're out of the picture. And by the time she goes back to Bethlehem, Judah, she's empty. As a matter of fact, she makes that statement. She said, I left full and I came back empty. And so here's Naomi, and she knows all about what it is to hurt. And I thought about this. You know, and not long after that, let me say this first. The Bible says in verse number 6 that she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So all this is happening right at the very beginning. Right? They eventually leave Bethlehem, Judah because of the famine. And after she loses her husband, after she loses her two sons, the passage of time, then she gets the good news. Hey, there's bread, there's food back at home. And so she makes the decision, well, what good is it for me to stay here anymore? I have no reason to stay here. She makes the decision to return back to her homeland. But now she has two daughter-in-laws. And you know the story. I'll paraphrase briefly that she tries to encourage them and tell them, why don't you go back to your families? She says, I have nothing to offer you. Would you really, if the Lord were to work a miracle and give me sons now, you would have to wait for 9 months plus however long it would take for them to grow up and meet and mature and be ready to marry you. In other words, she was saying, you don't want to wait around on that. Go back home where at least you have a family and at least there's something you know. Stay here. And she convinces Orpah to go back. But you know the story of Ruth. Ruth was, she was kind of stubborn, wasn't she? She said, I'm not going anywhere. I want your people to be my people. I want your land to be my land. I want your God to be my God. Where you go, I'm going. Where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. And so she sees that, you know what? I think Ruth's going to stick around. I can't convince her. And so Naomi makes the decision to go back. And she comes back and she has Ruth. And I thought about this illustration when we think about Naomi's life. Think of a bank account that has a lot of money in it. And I know not a lot of us can relate to that situation, right? But you're at a place in life where you're pretty comfortable and you're able to pay the bills and you have maybe a little bit left over and there's some security. Maybe there's some savings there and you have some saved up and maybe you've even started planning for the future. And then famine comes, right? And life starts making some withdrawals out of that account. And you know what? The first few withdrawals come, and you know what? That's what you prepare for. That's why you have the savings account. You're okay. But as time goes on, maybe the withdrawals get a little larger. And the crises that come up in your life, they're more severe and they're more serious. And before you know it, life has taken its toll, and one withdrawal after another, you turn around the bank account that once gave you the security and once made you happy, now is sitting in the negative. Now you've overdrawn and you're empty. And that's exactly kind of what happened with Naomi. There was a time in her life, man, her bank account was full. And listen, I'm not talking about just money tonight, okay? I'm talking about your spiritual bank account. And the question I want you to ask yourself tonight is, what kind of withdrawals has life taken from your account? I'm not talking about Walmart. I'm not talking about the price of eggs. I'm not talking about the Exxon. I'm talking about life, okay? What is it that life has dealt you and that God has allowed to come in contact with you that has made some withdrawals upon your life? And you find yourself in a similar place like Naomi where there was once upon a time you can look back and you can say, man, I was full. Not financially, not materially, but spiritually, maybe emotionally. There was a time when I was happy. There was a time when there was contentment. There was a time when I was excited about what God was doing. But now there's this emptiness. Man, life's made some withdrawals. And so Naomi knows what it's like to hurt. And I wonder tonight, if you were to identify, what is it tonight that would be your hurt? What would you write down that would be your hurt? For some, maybe it's grief. And you're struggling to get through the loss of a loved one. With some, maybe it's betrayal. It's someone that was close to you. Maybe they betrayed you, and that's something that's hard for you to get over. Maybe it's disappointment. And there was a time in your life when you prayed to God with great expectation, but after prayer and prayer and prayer, nothing happens, and you seem to kind of lose hope, and you're disappointed in God. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's physical. It could be a thousand things. But the truth of the matter is tonight, life has a way of dealing us hurt sometimes. Let's continue reading. Let's pick up in verse number 19 and read to the end of the chapter. So they two, this is now Naomi and Ruth, they're headed back to Naomi's hometown. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Or Naomi means pleasant. The name Mara means bitter. She said, don't call me Naomi. I don't want to identify by the name Naomi anymore. There's actually nothing pleasant going on in my life now. I want you to call me Mara. I want you to call me bitter. I've given myself a new name. That better identifies me. Bitterness is a better description of my life than pleasantness is. So she said, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Second word I want you to write down is this. I want you to write down the word numb. N-U-M-B. Number one, hurt. Number two, numb. You see what's happened to Naomi here? You see what the hurt has turned into for her? See, Naomi, man, she knows what it's like to hurt. She's lost a husband. She's lost two boys. And even though she's heard that there's good news back in the homeland, she goes back and But she goes back, and you can tell, man, she's different. When she left, she was full, but now she's coming back, and everybody's excited. Hey, it's Naomi. Let's greet Naomi. She's back. And she says, no, it's actually not Naomi. It's not. I'm a completely different person now. It's Mara. It's bitter. It's different now. And so, to me, it seems that Naomi, maybe she's went into survival mode. She's found a way to kind of press through the hurt. She's kind of found a way to do what she needs to do just to put one step in front of the other. But as I read through and try to read between the lines a little bit without taking it out of context, man, I see a woman here that's just numb. I see a woman here that says, you know what, there was a time when things were good, but now I don't have any feeling anymore. It's just, it's bitterness. And man, doesn't pain have a way of turning into numbness sometimes? Even for Christians. If you touch a hot stove and you get a burn on your hand, eventually, if you burn it bad enough or good enough, however way you want to look at that, man, you're going to do some damage to some nerves, and you may not have any feeling anymore in that hand. Cold can do the same way. Right, you get out in extreme cold temperatures, and at the beginning it hurts, but then if you stay cold too long, too cold for too long, it turns into numbness. You don't feel it anymore. And if we're not careful, that sense of numbness can almost be a false sense of comfort and security to us. Because here's what we think. Well, at least if I don't feel anything, that's better than the hurt. And here's what I'm afraid of tonight. That's exactly where a lot of Christians are. You can think back to a point in your life when there was some feeling. There was some emotion. There was some excitement. There was some passion. You were driven to do something, but life has just made some withdrawals. Life has dealt you some blows. There have been some difficult things that you've went through, and the hurt, you know what? You find yourself, it don't even hurt anymore because you found a way to kind of operate and ignore the pain, and before long, you're just sitting there, and you're going through the motions, and there's no feeling, and you open up your hymnal, and you sing the words, but man, it's just dead inside. And you go home and you try to open your Bible and have your time with God, but if you're honest with yourself, it's just numb. And I'm telling you, we live in a day where one of the prevailing characteristics of church and Christianity is there's numb Christians on church pews everywhere. It's stuff I got to deal with in my own life. Man, how dangerous is it for us to just ignore the pain and learn how to deal with it in an improper way, and we just kind of accept the numb and we think, well, you know what? I'm okay. Because, man, as long as I'm not hurt, I'm not crying anymore. We know what else you're not doing? You're not struggling with God anymore. You're not praying anymore. You've given up. There's no expectation that God's even going to work. So you just gave up on that. Hey, but I'm coming to church. But there's nothing happening. Come on, am I alone tonight? Listen, I'm telling you, if we're not careful, life and the pain that it can deal in the blink of an eye can turn into numbness. And we make ourselves feel good because we're going through the motions. And I'm not saying you need to stay at home. Coming to church is better than not being at church. And going through the motions is better than quitting. But that's not what God has in mind for us tonight. That's not God's best for our life. You think that's where God wanted Naomi? Well, at least she's back home. She ought to be happy to be back home. Yeah, I know she changed her name, but at least she's back home. And I think that's where we find ourselves in a lot of times if we're not careful. It reminds me of what Jesus said about that church of Laodicea. Remember what he said? He said, you have no idea what's wrong with you. He said, you're rich, you're increased with goods, and you know not. You don't even know. You're poor, you're blind, you're miserable. You're in a bad state. He said, you're lukewarm. He said, I wish that you were cold. I wish that you were hot. And I don't think that means I wish that you were cold on God or on fire for God. It just means I wish that you were in a place where you realized you had a need. When you're cold, you realize, I need a blanket. When you're hot, you realize, man, I need the air conditioned. But he said, you're just numb. You're lukewarm. There's no help for you. You don't feel things anymore. And, man, if we're not careful, that's where we'll find ourselves. You know, it's like the child that just asks his father something, and he gets no answer. And so he asks his father something. Dad, can I have a bicycle? Oh, we'll talk about it later, son. Maybe the next day. Dad, hey, what about the bicycle? We'll talk about it tomorrow, son. He comes the next day. Dad, hey, what about the bicycle? Well, hey, you know what, son? Let's wait maybe till you grow up a little bit. His next birthday. Hey, Dad, I'm a little bit older now. What about the bicycle? You know what's going to happen to that boy eventually? He's just going to stop asking. He's just going to grow numb to it. What good is it to talk to Dad? And I think that sometimes that happens to us when we talk to our Heavenly Father, and maybe we don't get the answer that we think that we should get from him, and so we just stop, and we're like, you know what? I'm not going to quit church. I'm not going to quit playing the part. But on the inside, it's numb. It's dead. And we just, man, we're just going through the motions. It's like Samson, right? Man, he was so far away from God, and he didn't even know it. He had been numb for so long. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go out here and shake myself, and I'm going to take care of these enemies just like I have in all the times gone by. And didn't even know that God had left him. Didn't even know it. I wonder how many times we do that. We're so used to doing things without God and without the passion, without the drive, without the excitement, that we're just like, you know what? Hey, let's just keep doing what we've been doing. And we're clueless. Samson was clueless. Had no idea that God had left him. And I think that's where we find Naomi. She hurt, but then the hurt, man, it turned into numbness. And that can happen to us. And the dangerous thing is we start to tell ourselves, well, this is better. It's better to be numb because, man, nobody likes the pain, right? Nobody likes the pain. But, I mean, could it be tonight that there's something more dangerous than feeling the pain? I mean, is it really better? Is it really better for you to be numb and not to feel the pain than it is for you to go through the struggle and to feel the pain? I want you to write this down. This is my message. Feeling hurt is better than feeling nothing. Feeling hurt's better than feeling nothing. There was a time in Naomi's life when she felt the pain. Then there was a time in Naomi's life when, for lack of a better term, she's like a zombie. Don't call me Naomi. Just call me, but do you see what she said in verse number 20? The Almighty God hath dealt very bitterly with me. And there's almost a borderline accusation here. I don't want to read too much into it. I went out full, and the Lord, this is all what God did. He hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? He's against me. Don't call me that. There's nothing pleasant going on in my life. I remember those days. I'm trying to forget about them. Don't call me Naomi anymore. This is my new identity. Is that really better? I mean, is it better for you to pretend like you're Mara instead of Naomi? Is it better to go through the motions and, hey, at least I'm faithful, at least I'm checking the boxes, but there's nothing going on inside? Hey, listen, I think it's better for Naomi to be hurt than feeling nothing. I think it's better for Naomi to be injured than to be indifferent. I think it's better for Naomi to struggle than to be silent. I think it's better for us to learn how to trust God through the pain than to accept the numbness as normality. It's just the way it's going to be. Because feeling hurt, it's better than feeling nothing. Now, you know this truth. Who is it in your life? Who is it in our life that can hurt us the most? But it's the people we love the most. Is it not? I mean, if you don't love somebody, they really can't hurt you. The reason why arguments with your spouse are so difficult is because you care so much about it. You don't want to do that. They're not pleasant. Now, if you're at the place where your spouse doesn't hurt you anymore, you're at a dangerous place in your relationship. There's a callousness there. You're just numb to it now. Because you remember the day when it used to bother you? And so I'd be careful about getting to the place in any relationship when things don't even bother you anymore. Because the pain, the hurt, and it's actually a pretty good sign. It's a pretty good sign that there's some love there. And so the people that can hurt us the most, it could be a best friend or it could be a spouse. It's people that we're close to. And so the pain is a good indicator that we love that person. And so when we're talking about God, I think that it's okay sometimes to feel a frustration, sometimes to feel a confusion, sometimes to struggle, to wrestle with God. The Psalms are full of them. Are they not? I mean, it's our guidebook to worship God. And a good bit of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. God, I'm hurt. Why are you hurt? Because God, I love you, and I don't understand why you would allow this. I don't understand the pain. There's no lament if there's no relationship. Does that make sense? And so what does it say about your relationship with God tonight if you're just numb? See, when's the last time God allowed something to come into your life and you're just like, oh, no big deal. That's a dangerous place to be. Because there is something worse tonight than feeling hurt. And that's getting to the place where you don't feel anything. Now, you remember I told you at the beginning of the message, there's a God in heaven that knows about where we are and cares about our pain. Aren't you thankful for that? You remember what I said about, you know, the bank account and how life, it makes its withdrawals, and before you know it, man, we look at the bank account, and we check the statement one day, and it's a negative. Turn with me, if you will. You're right here in chapter 1 already, but I want us to look at one verse. Notice verse 22 again. So Naomi returned. You know what? She said she was empty. Isn't that what she said in verse 21? I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. She's not empty. She's just numb. She doesn't understand what God's even doing in her life, because she don't come back home empty. She don't have her husband. She doesn't have her two boys. But the Bible says here in verse 22, Ruth was with her. You see that? And Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. You know what God was doing in Naomi's life when all she could see was the withdrawals that life was bringing her way? God was making some deposits. She just didn't realize it. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the same God that would do that for Naomi, he's doing that for you. Don't you think he would do that for me? Don't you think he would do that for you? And sometimes when we go through the pain and we go through the hurt and we can't always see the good hand of God, doesn't mean it's not there. Just means that sometimes we don't recognize it. And the whole time that Naomi, all she could think about was, man, God's been dealing bitterly with me, and God is against me, and God has afflicted me. At the same time, all the bad stuff was happening. God was making some deposits. She wasn't even aware of it. She brings one of them back with her to the hometown. Ruth's right beside her. You know the story. Man, it's not, but a few chapters later, Naomi's carrying a grandbaby in her arms. Why? Because God's a good God, and he's making those deposits. Even in the midst of all the hurt, even in the midst of all the pain, man, God was doing miraculous things in her life. She wasn't even aware of it. As I'm just here to encourage you and tell you tonight, I don't know what the hurt is. I don't know all the withdrawals that are being made in your life at the time, but there's a God in heaven who loves you. He cares about you. He's making deposits. You may not recognize it right now. You may not see it right now, especially if you're in the same condition that Naomi was in. You don't feel anything. That doesn't mean it's not there. Doesn't mean that God doesn't care. I'm glad that he always cares. And I'm glad that he's there to walk with us through it. There was never a time that Naomi was alone. And as children of God, there's never a time that we're alone. Now listen, God never promised us a bed of roses. And he never promised us that life was going to be easy. But he promised he'd never leave us, didn't he? He promised he would never forsake us. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know where you are this evening. Maybe you're dealing with some pain. Maybe you're dealing with some hurt. Maybe it's because of your own doing. Maybe it's because of the doing of somebody else. Maybe you don't know why you're going through what you're going through, like many people. I don't know. Maybe you're here tonight and you're numb. You're just going through the motions. You can't remember the last time there was joy. You can't even remember the last time there was hurt. You can't remember the last time you felt anything about God. You just know, I'm doing the right thing. And again, it's good to do the right thing, but I don't want to be dead inside. I don't want to be like the church of Laodicea. Listen, feeling hurt, it's better than feeling nothing. And maybe you're here and you're like the child asking the dad for the bicycle. You remember the parable of the importunate friend? And the lesson of the parable was, you just keep asking. You don't lose hope. And you don't lose your expectation. God hadn't, he hadn't vacated heaven. He hadn't left the throne. He hadn't stopped caring. He hadn't stopped being Lord over your life. And so tonight, I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I want you to remember, feeling hurt's better than feeling nothing. God wants to help you bear the load tonight. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Pianist is going to come. We'll stand to our feet. And And I just want us to have a time of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, I'm not going to belabor this. But if you, here's what I'll encourage you with. If you find your place tonight in a place where it's hard for you to remember the last time you felt anything about God, that's a dangerous place to be. What does that say about your relationship with God tonight? Say, Pastor Brandon, I am hurt. And the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know what I'd do tonight if I was hurt? I'd tell God all about it. Listen, there's nobody else that can handle my problem and my hurt like Jesus can. He cares. The Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He cares. He knows. He wants to hear from you. If you're experiencing the pain, maybe tonight, somewhere in your heart, you could at least come to the place in your life where you could be thankful that there's something there. Maybe it's an indication that, you know what, your relationship with God, it's where it needs to be. And there's always times in our life when we wish the circumstances were different. But maybe the pain, it's a good indicator that you love God. If you need to pray, come and pray tonight during invitation.